I spoke last week with Feyisa Lilesa. You may remember him as the Ethiopian marathoner who won the silver medal last month at the Olympics. As he crossed the finish line, he raised his hands above his head and crossed his wrists. He hasn't returned to Ethiopia since the Games, and he recently came to Washington. I spoke with him through an interpreter, the journalist Mohamed Ademo, on Friday. We have edited that interview for broadcast. I began our conversation by asking Feyisa Lilesa about the meaning of the sign he made at the marathon finish line.
The sign is a sign of protest in my country. People are using that to say that we've had enough of the killings, we've had enough of being forced out into exile, we've had enough of being put into jail, and we are tired of this repression, and we want to live in peace and equality in our country. So that's what the sign means.
Why did he choose to perform that sign at the Rio Olympics? Why choose that stage?
I use the Olympic stage. As you know, the Olympic stage is very big. It's a big event that is watched by millions around the world, and there are no people who don't watch. And up until that point, people were being killed and protesting in my country, but they didn't have anyone to hear or see their protest. So I knew that millions would be watching, and it was a good opportunity to bring awareness to the plight of my people.
When he talks about my people, he means the Oromo people in Ethiopia. What is the plight of the Oromo people?
Yes, I'm an Oromo, but I also want to emphasize that the Oromos are oppressed, but there are also other people who are facing similar challenges. And in Ethiopia today, only one group has right, one ethnic group has right, and the Oromo people are being killed. They're being forced off their land, and this is making the Oromo people poor. So these are some of the things that are happening to my people.
I'm assuming that the group he says has rights is the Tigrayan people. Why is it that they have rights and, in his view, none of the other ethnic groups do?
When the current government came to power, they deposed the regime of Mengistu Haile Mariam. The elites from the Tigray region, Tigrayan elites, took over power. As you know, Malla Zenawi, the former prime minister of Ethiopia, was Tigrayan himself. The former prime minister of Ethiopia, Suyum Matfin, was also Tigrayan. So Tigrayan took all the key positions of power, and they also took over the military. The military is controlled by them, and they used this control over the military and also the political sector, and they were able to build their power and monopolize power for themselves. And as you know, Tigrayans are only 6 million out of the Ethiopian population, but they are so powerful because when they came to power, they took key government positions and they monopolized all the power. There are so many ways that the people of Ethiopia are suffering under the current government. Let me give you an example of an education. In the education system today, there are two kinds of schools. It's schools for the poor people and schools for the rich and the children of the government officials. So the government officials, their students are going to best private schools, and the rest of us are going to public schools which don't have provide quality education. If you look at me today, I don't speak very much English, but a third grade from who's connected to people in power would speak a much better English than I am, because they have those access, those opportunities. It's not only that, so the same thing, you can say the same thing in the economic sector, and also they displacing Oromo people and others from their land, and they're investing on those lands themselves and enriching themselves as the people who are removed from the land become poor and destitute.
The Oromo people and other ethnic groups in Ethiopia have been protesting against this peacefully, but we know that people who have been protesting peacefully have been arrested. When we were in Ethiopia in 2014, we spoke with Zone 9 bloggers who were later detained and arrested, is he not afraid that his action will result in the detention of members of his own family?
I do have a great concern for their safety, but my immediate family is safe because Ethiopia projects an image of democracy, and they say that I will be safe if I return to the country. Now, if they touch my family or if something happens to my family, this will bring them a more bad publicity, more bad news will come out of Ethiopia, the way the government attacks its critics. So that is my immediate family. But my friends and my extended family, they have to disassociate with me, and some of them have to even denounce some of my actions publicly so that they don't get in trouble. So my immediate family is safe because of the world that has seen them in the media, and they are somewhat protected for now, but that could change.
Well, if his family is safe, why would he not be safe returning to Ethiopia? He is a hero there. The government says that it would welcome him as a hero. Why does he doubt that will happen?
This government doesn't come and directly attack you. They go behind and around, use different means, different methods to attack you. My wife is a stay-at-home mom, and she looks after my children. But me, on the other hand, if I were to go back, I have to drive a car and go to my training, and I leave the house, and I have other things I have to do. So if I go to the place I train, which is in the mountains, someone can just hide there. A government agent can hide there and just kill me, and it will be spinned as though an unknown person took that kind of action. And I also want to tell you that there are so many car accidents in Ethiopia these days, and it is possible that they can run over me with a truck, and I know this government doesn't, they won't say that we will come and attack you and then come attack you. They will go around and find ways to get you if they want to eliminate you. This is why I don't trust them. This is why I have fears for my safety.
Why has he come to the Washington area?
There's a large community here. There are a lot of Oromos who are from the same area where I'm from. So I wanted to just come here until I find a place where I can move on and settle and start training. So I wanted to come here, rest, meet the people, and move on to where I want to stay for future.
He wrote an opinion piece that was published in the Washington Post explaining his actions and his point of view. What is he hoping that will accomplish?
I hope that a lot of people read the op-ed and also got my message, because I did not leave my country and choose exile because I committed any crime. Just like all the people who are protesting, I asked, we want peace. What we are asking for is equality, peace, and justice. And I hope that the world and people who read the op-ed will get that sense and exactly what people are asking for Ethiopia. And this will put enough pressure on the Ethiopian government to give the power back to the people. Right now, the people in power have power, not the people. They're not accountable to the people. So I hope people read and got the message, and I wanted to raise awareness about what is happening in the country and also explain what led me to choose exile, and I hope people got that message.
What does he hope will happen in the future of his country so that his people, the Oromo people, and others have an equal share of both the government and the economy?
I hope that a real change will come to Ethiopia, because right now what is happening is, Ethiopia never had a peaceful transfer of power. And the situation of the protest and the way it is going right now sort of just brings back that history of bloodshed and where there has not been peaceful transfer of power. But beyond that, people who were poor before are now rich, taking advantage of their access to power and their access to people who are in power. All of this is creating animosity, and I hope that real change will come so that people are equal and it won't pit people against each other. Unless that kind of change where people have equal share and equal access to opportunities, you are going to see a very dramatic scene in Ethiopia very soon.
What role would he like to see the U.S. play in Ethiopia?
What is happening in Ethiopia today is not a real thing. So the government tells the world that there is an economic growth, and it makes people think that is true. And because in America, for example, there is actually leaders and there is growth that you can show for. Because of this, when the government says there is growth, people believe what the Ethiopian government says. I want the American government and others to understand that what is happening in Ethiopia is largely a drama, a staged. So I asked the American government to understand that the development that is happening in Ethiopia is a farce. It is not affecting anyone. It's not pulling poor people up. I want the American government to understand that what Ethiopia project is largely a lie. And understanding all this, I want the American government to put pressure on Ethiopia to be truthful in its reporting of growth and democracy and other things, and return the power to the people and also respect the human rights of everybody in that country. Because we need all these things, and without all these things, nobody is going to benefit from the development that Ethiopia claims.
Most athletes who reach his level of performance and prominence tend to be so concerned with their own personal fortunes and futures that they don't pay a great deal of attention to politics or to the poor. What makes him different?
Yes, it is true that a lot of athletes don't speak out in the ways that I'm doing right now. But I could not avoid seeing the killings and seeing my people put in jail en masse, and so many people being forced out of the country who have been slaughtered by terrorists while trying to cross the Mediterranean. So many others died in the sea and were lost in the sea. I could not avoid seeing all this, and these people raised me. They gave me everything that I have, and I belong to them, and I have a platform to speak out for them. I bear a great responsibility to be their voice, and I could not avoid the suffering and just focus on my fame or fortune.
And finally, this is very important to us. We know this is not home, but does he feel at home in the Ethiopian community here in the Washington area?
I don't feel at home at all. Because when I think about my country, I think about the rivers and the mountains and the houses from my childhood, the huts, the mud huts, and everything that I grew up seeing. And this is what I think of when I think of my country. In fact, when I saw so many people after coming here who were pushed out of the country and they could not go back and live in their country, so many educated people who can help Ethiopia in so many ways, I actually want to cry. It makes me really sad that this government has pushed so many people out of the country and also out of the political process. So I'm not happy at all. I don't see this as home. I know that this country is advanced and there are so many things that I desire to see in my country. But when I think of it as home, I still prefer my poor country.
You just listened to an edited conversation I had this past Friday with Feyisa Lilesa, the Ethiopian runner now living in exile after winning the silver medal in the marathon at last month's Olympic Games. He's now in the U.S. where he sought a special visa that would allow him to train and compete here. We spoke through an interpreter, Mohammed Ademo, an unedited version of that interview is available at our website, kojoshow.org. We're about to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll meet an artist and a track coach who are involved with a performance coming soon to the National Mall. I'm Kojo Nandi.
WAMU 88.5 is your listener-supported NPR news station in the greater Washington, D.C. region. You can support the Kodjo Namdi Show and all the regional coverage you value by becoming a member today. Click the donate button at WAMU.org, and thanks.